This past weekend was the 2024 NFL Draft. There were several NFL teams, such as those in House of Lombardi, decided their destiny, and with those selections came the storylines. How was it? Let's talk about it, but first.
Let us begin.
Cheers, everybody. Welcome to Brewstilled. I'm your host, Brandon, and for the subs of Brewstilled, I'll be talking about my top storylines for the 2024 NFL Draft, primarily from the very first round of this year's NFL Draft. For this year's NFL Draft, the House Lombardi teams primarily did pretty well. We saw some surprises in the first round, primarily from the Atlanta Falcons, when he drafted Michael Penix Jr. in the very first round. As for Dallas Cowboys, they did focus on their offensive line in this year's NFL Draft. However, though, they probably missed out on a player they should have gotten, such as a center out of Duke, who got drafted by Tampa Bay in the first round. So we talk about storylines from the first round of 2024 NFL Draft. Before that, though, what beer am I pairing for the subs of the Brewstilled and for a 2024 NFL Draft? Well, that beer comes to us from Jackrabbit Brewing Company in West Sacramento, California, and that beer is called Kelvin Devil Falls, a bitter session-style beer, which is excellent and also very nice beer to have for any NFL game or any other sporting event. It comes at a 4% ABV. For this beer, it's a collaboration with Jackrabbit and Admiral Maltine to make for an excellent bitter style beer. It's copper in color with a malt forward and a low bitter profile. Flavor-wise, I see this bready with a nice sweeter flavor to it. It's an excellent balance in the flavor and also very easy to drink. I drank it on tap at Jackrabbit Brewing's Antique Beer Fair during Sacramento Beer Week, and it was really easy to drink. I mean, it was so good, I had two of them. It was that good of a beer and well-crafted English style bitter beer from Jackrabbit Brewing Company in collaboration with Admiral Maltines. It's a perfect beer, and nice session-style beers will soon be in style as weather does get warmer. As in warmer seasons, you definitely want those session-style beers, and also because they go well with the summer season, and also this one's also very unique as well. So check that out if you find it, or also swing over to Jackrabbit Brewing in West Sacramento, California, and check out that beer called Killin' Devil Falls, a nice bitter session-style beer from Jackrabbit Brewing Company, with a nice 4% ABV. Okay, let's talk about the storylines for the 2024 NFL Draft and for teams who are part of the House of the Lombardi for a 2024 NFL season. The first storyline involves the Atlanta Falcons, who stunned many such as myself by drafting Michael Penix Jr. in a 2024 NFL Draft with their first overall pick in the first round when they already have Kirk Cousins as their quarterback. This one was a head-scratcher and also the shocker of the night in the first round of the 2024 NFL Draft because we never saw this coming. I mean, there were whispers that the Falcons probably wanted a quarterback, but take one such as Michael Penix Jr. in the first round was by far a shocker and also delivered shockwaves throughout the NFL community. And also get this, when Kirk Cousins found out, he said he was told minutes before it was going to happen that Michael Penix Jr. would be the first pick for the Falcons at the quarterback position. He said he was rather confused by this, according to his agent, when the Falcons drafted Michael Penix Jr. So what does all this mean for the Falcons and for Kirk Cousins and for the NFC South? Well, so far it's still a developing situation, but I do wonder, when will the Falcons start Michael Penix Jr. as their next quarterback, because they signed Kirk Cousins to a massive deal for 4 years with $100 million in guaranteed money. Now here's the thing about Kirk Cousins. He's 1-3 in the postseason. He's never won a Super Bowl. He's a guy who knows how to make money in terms of pay at the quarterback position. But beyond that, what has he done for an NFL franchise? He's been with the Washington Commanders, the Vikings, and now he's with the Falcons. He's also 35 years old. So I do wonder, how much time would the Falcons put up with Kirk Cousins in the event he does not deliver for the Falcons? Probably not that long. I mean, think about this. This season for the Falcons will be even more intriguing given how they drafted in the first round. We could see a quarterback controversy in Atlanta, which would be very fascinating to watch. And also, just like with House of the Dragon, it fits with the storyline for this year's House of the Lombardi. Because we see the worlds of Game of Thrones and the NFL merge, it creates a very fascinating dynamic. I mean, 10 teams, aka 10 houses, in the NFL will be the teams that cover in this year's NFL season, and the Falcons are one of them, and they just created by far one of the more intriguing storylines in a 2024 NFL season by drafting Michael Penix Jr. when they already have Kirk Cousins signed to a four-year deal worth $100 million, which is definitely something I would not do as an NFL owner, let alone a general manager, but they did. And now, they add to the controversy about how they drafted in the first round of the draft. Personally, I have nothing against Michael Penix Jr. I think he's also an NFL caliber quarterback, but I think he'd probably be better suited for the second round of the draft, or probably could have been drafted by the Raiders. I think the Raiders, they wanted Michael Penix Jr. However, sadly for the Raiders, he was gone by the time they had their first round pick. So now Michael Penix Jr. is now with the Atlanta Falcons, and possibly their long-term solution at the quarterback position, but also with it comes a soap opera for the Atlanta Falcons, and also probably changes the power dynamics in the NFC South, who right now in my view favor the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. So the Falcons, they by far are an intriguing team right now in the NFL season. I wonder just how this will play out. Michael Penix Jr. and Kirk Cousins coexisting on the sidelines for the Falcons, because we'll have a QB controversy down in Atlanta just in time for 2024 NFL season. For the Falcons going forward before training camp and also in the preseason, we'll see some pretty intriguing storylines come from this entire situation. Okay, for the next storyline from the first round of this year's NFL draft, that one involves the Detroit Lions, who might face challenges from the Chicago Bears. The Lions had a good season last year. They went to the NFC title game where they lost to San Francisco. They could have easily won a game actually, but they failed in the end to win that game, probably because the ghost of Bobby Lane. Maybe Bobby Lane is so pissed off at the Lions for what happened to him many years ago. Maybe he so haunted them. Maybe the curse is real. Okay, going back to the draft, for the Lions, for them, their focus was on defense. They drafted defensive back out of Alabama to add to their defense, so I think the Lions made the right move in the first round. But going back to the Bears, their divisional rival in the NFC North, the Bears drafted Caleb Williams out of USC as their next franchise quarterback, including a wide receiver from Washington State, who played with Michael Penix Jr. So for the Bears, they added to their offense in the first round. It gives them two major weapons, and also pretty solid first round as well for the 2024 NFL draft. That would not only benefit the Bears, but also challenge the Detroit Lions, and probably create problems for the Lions in this year's NFL season, assuming those two first round draft selections for the Bears find success in this year's NFL season. If it does, what does that mean for the Detroit Lions? Are the Lions on a timeline that might end in failure? Is the clock running out for them already? I mean, the Lions are a team that never won a Super Bowl. They're a team that really doesn't have a track record of success, but in past 3 years, they've been on a role, but could they have peaked probably in last year's NFL season? Was Dan Campbell correct when he told his team this might have been their last chance to get to Super Bowl after they lost to the 49ers? I don't know, and I think not right now. I think the Lions will still do well in this year's NFL season, but challenges are coming, and they're coming from their own division, particularly with the Chicago Bears, who drafted well in the first round. For the Bears, they had to do well in the first round. They had to draft talent. They needed a quarterback, and they also got a wide receiver, which they probably could have focused more on offensive line. Regardless, they got a quarterback and a receiver for the Bears, and that there will also challenge the NFL in terms of who they play, and also the Lions. So I think the Lions right now are on notice because they got growing competition in their own division. They got to focus on that. I think them focusing more on defense from the Lions' perspective was the right course of action because they'll need a solid defense in order to contend with Caleb Williams and the rising Bears offense. For more on this topic, this also changes the NFC North. The Packers are a rising franchise. They're actually pretty good. The Lions will have to face the Bears and the Packers, and the Vikings also drafted J.J. McCarthy as their next franchise quarterback. I think the NFC North is a division on the rise, so the Lions, they're on notice. Time could be running out. They'll face more stiff competition this year's NFL season, so for Dan Campbell, he has a major task on his hand in order to keep the Lions consistent and competitive in the upcoming NFL season when it begins in the fall. We saw that in the first round of the NFL draft from the Bears, because the Bears, they're not messing around. They want to get back into the competitive landscape, become more of a relevant NFL franchise, and also become a tough team in the NFL. And they're showing they're going to do that in this year's NFL season, given how they drafted in this year's first round of the NFL NFL draft, and that draft is going to have the lasting repercussions on the Detroit Lions. For number three, that involves my beloved Dallas Cowboys, and he drafted an offensive lineman in the first round, but he also traded back. And I'm wondering, why did Jerry Jones trade back in the first round just to get another third round draft selection? They probably missed out on the player they wanted. There was a center out of Duke, who I think could have been the best asset and the best selection for the Cowboys, but he got drafted by Tampa Bay. The Cowboys had to settle for an offensive lineman out of Oklahoma, but I do not believe that was their first choice for the Dallas Cowboys, although they got offensive lineman in the first round. I mean, for the past few months, the Cowboys have been saying they're all in. That's what Jerry Jones has been saying for the Cowboys by saying they're all in for this year's NFL season. But personally, I do not believe they're all in. I still do believe the Cowboys will have a very challenging season in this year's NFL season. They might even miss the playoffs. I hate to say that, but you gotta be realistic about the Cowboys. I think their day of reckoning is coming in this year's NFL season. I mean, this could also be Dak Prescott's final year with the Dallas Cowboys. There is so much drama and controversy right now with the Dallas Cowboys. It's like that every year. But since when has a controversy and drama brought them a winning Super Bowl, besides back in 1995 NFL season, which is over 30 years ago? This is the year 2024. It's a new NFL era. It's been like that for quite some time now, and Jerry Jones just can't get with it. I mean, he's done well with the draft. He's got a great track record of drafting great players for the Cowboys, but I think in this year's NFL draft, just like last year, it really hasn't been that good. I mean, taking the offensive lineman in the first round, probably their second choice, was not their most ideal situation. I think they should have stayed put and drafted a center out of Duke for their first round selection, but it never happened for the Cowboys. So right now, are the Cowboys all in? They say they are, but so far, they're not. And it shows based on how they're drafting in the first round of the 2024 NFL draft. So as a Cowboys fan, I'm not happy with Jerry Jones right now based on how he drafted in the first round. I think trading back was also a mistake. They should have stayed put and get that center, but he missed out on an opportunity. Yeah, they got a new offensive lineman. They needed one, but he could have done much better in the first round. For the next observation for the 2024 NFL draft first round was 9 offensive linemen being drafted in the first round of the draft. That is an impressive number given how teams are looking to rebuild their offensive lines and maintain the ones they have now. I mean, we talk about a lot of teams needing a quarterback, but you can't have a good quarterback without a good offensive line. A lot of teams in the first round did recognize that by taking offensive linemen to protect their quarterback and to maintain a good offense. I think that there is also key in the draft, with 9 offensive linemen being taken in the first round for the draft, with more to come as the draft does progress. I think Tampa Bay were the winners in this category by taking a center out of Duke to help Baker Mayfield in the 2024 NFL season, the player the Cowboys, in my view, should have taken. For my next storyline, that is, from the 2024 NFL draft in terms of observations, was the New York Jets making the right choice. The Jets took an offensive lineman in the first round when many thought they could probably take Brock Bowers, the tight end out of Georgia, as their first round draft pick. But the Jets, in my view, chose the right path by taking offensive lineman because Aaron Rodgers from last year's season, remember he got injured in the first game, he was out for the season, and there was talk his career might be over with? Well, the Jets realized they can't mess around with the offensive line. Yes, he made additions to the offensive line in free agency, but in the draft, they chose an offensive lineman in the first round, which was the best course of action for their roster and to protect Aaron Rodgers. I think the Jets going in this route in the draft was the best choice. I mean, there was all that talk about them taking Brock Bowers, a tight end, or probably wide receiver. Yes, it sounds appealing and also very tempting, but you gotta have an offensive line to protect Aaron Rodgers, and there are other tight ends and other wide receivers in the draft they can select who Aaron Rodgers can work with and throw the ball to in the season, because you can't just ignore the offensive line. That, in my view, is a solid selection for the Jets and also must have in the first round. I mean, like I mentioned earlier, 9 offensive linemen went in the first round for this year's draft. One of those guys went to the Jets to protect Aaron Rodgers. When they selected Olufashinu to be that guy to protect Aaron Rodgers and to join their roster for the season. For Olufashinu, he comes to Jets out of Penn State. He's 6'6 in height and weighs 312 pounds. A solid offensive lineman from Penn State to join the Jets and to protect Aaron Rodgers. A good pick by the New York Jets and also one decision they had to make. Plus also, last year in the draft, the Jets wanted offensive linemen, but the Patriots got there first. So they had to make up for last year's debacle in the draft by missing out on offensive linemen from last year's NFL draft. For this year, though, the Jets got their offensive linemen, and I think it'll pay them dividends when the season does begin. Plus, also, there's been talk that Aaron Rodgers might play into his 40s, probably even as high as age 45. So it's natural why the Jets got to maintain their roster to make sure that does happen, because this year's season will be big for the New York Jets. They're in a position right now to probably win the AFC East and probably even advance to the Super Bowl. They did a lot of work on the roster in the offseason to get better from last year's season and also make sure Aaron Rodgers has what he needs to be successful in this year's NFL season, and offensive line is definitely one of those positions. Plus also, the Buffalo Bills had a setback in the season when they traded away Stephon Diggs. I think that there does open a window of opportunity for the Jets to take advantage of that and be the dominant team in the AFC East. I do believe the Jets will do well this season, and based on how they did in the first round of the draft, by focusing on offensive line, that there does get the Jets a big advantage for the upcoming season in the fall. For the Raiders, they were the team that drafted Brock Bowers in the first round. That there came as a surprise, actually, because I wonder what the Raiders are going to do in the first round. Would he focus on defense or offense, or probably try for a quarterback? I think the Raiders, in my view, with their first choice, they wanted a quarterback, particularly Michael Penix Jr., but he was taken before they got a chance to do that. So in order to supplement that and to add to their offense, they took Brock Bowers, that tight end out of Georgia, which I do believe was a great choice for the Raiders. Some analysts don't like that move, but I think the Raiders made the right choice by drafting Brock Bowers. He's a good weapon on the offense. He plays tight end, but can also play wide receiver as well. He's by far a very flexible offensive player that I definitely do believe will play a great role in the Raiders' offense. So the Raiders, in my view, taking Brock Bowers was the right choice. It's probably bold. It's definitely very much a surprise choice, but in my view, the Raiders, they did well with their first choice in the first round by drafting Brock Bowers. I think that there was a good move for the Raiders. Plus, also the Raiders got to adapt and get more competitive in the AFC West. They're in the bottom of the barrel right now when you look at it when it comes to the AFC West. They're probably right there with the Broncos. So the Raiders, they got to rise up and become more relevant in the AFC West and also the AFC Conference. And I think Brock Bowers is the right choice in order to help them get there. Still though, the QB position is something the Raiders have got to address eventually, so Brock Bowers might be a short-term solution. They got a quarterback in place right now, but it's also not their long-term solution. So I think probably the next two seasons, probably even the next year's season, the Raiders would definitely be in the market for a quarterback in the draft. For now though, they chose well with Brock Bowers. The thing is though, how long can it last without a good solid quarterback who's also consistent? For the Chargers reported they had to decline multiple trade requests for Justin Herbert. Now that there's pretty wild. Supposedly it was the Patriots and the Vikings making calls to the Chargers to trade for Justin Herbert. Now if that happened, what might have been? We'll never know. Maybe in a parallel gridiron, the NFL's multiverse, that world is playing itself out. But in our timeline, our world, Justin Herbert is still with the LA Chargers, despite requests for a trade to either the Patriots or the Vikings. I think the Chargers made the right choice by sticking with Justin Herbert as their quarterback as he joins Jim Harbaugh for the upcoming NFL season. To trade Justin Herbert, in my view, would have been an extremely reckless choice to make, because all these quarterbacks in the draft who got drafted in the first round, all six of them, we don't know how good they're going to be yet. I mean, only maybe two might be good, but beyond that, it might be even less than that. So right now, all these quarterbacks who got drafted, yeah, they're first round draft picks, but how will they actually do in the NFL? That there is a mystery that has yet to be solved. We'll get our answer eventually, but for now, it's all a mystery. For a closing thought on a whole Justin Herbert trade talk, I mean, that there's not only reckless, I mean, why would the Chargers even consider such a thing? Because they're not in a rebuilding situation. They got a good team in place. They just needed a good coach, and they got that with Jim Harbaugh. So for the Chargers to avoid trading Justin Herbert really does show just how good of a team they really are, and they believe in their quarterback, Justin Herbert. I mean, to trade him would have been going backwards big time, and it could have wrecked their roster in the process if such a reckless choice was made. For teams like the Ravens and the Rams, they focused more on defense in the first round. They had later first round draft picks. They probably had no needs on offense, although the Rams probably do need a quarterback eventually. They got to replace Matt Stafford eventually because he's not getting any younger, and also they probably wanted a quarterback to begin with in the first round, but given their draft position, that wasn't possible. I think they probably wanted Michael Penix, just like the Falcons did, but the opportunity wasn't there for the Rams. So they focused more on defense, just like like the Ravens did. But the Ravens, what more do they need? I mean, the Ravens got a really solid roster. They have a good coach. They got their quarterback. They just got Derrick Henry in free agency as their next running back. So really for the Ravens, what more do they need? They're probably the most complete team in my view for the House of the Lombardi for this year's NFL season. So for the Ravens, they're a pretty complete team. They really have no draft needs, but they did draft on defense in the first round for a pass rusher. For my theory on this, it's probably based on want rather than need, but getting extra pass rusher doesn't hurt anything as well for the Ravens. I mean, they're in a pretty competitive division with the AFC North, and Dallas at AFC Conference is also really competitive as well. And the Ravens got to bounce back from last year's defeat when he lost against the Chiefs in the playoffs. So for Ravens, they're in a good spot, and I think out of all the teams in the House of the Lombardi, the Ravens are in the best spot, probably just like the Detroit Lions, who are also probably in another similar situation as well, with a really complete team, but also coexisting in a very competitive division. For the Jaguars, they traded back like I thought they should. I thought to focus more defense, though. I thought to take a defensive player in the first round, but he actually drafted a wide receiver to work with Trevor Lawrence. I think that there is both good and bad. I mean, some wide receivers are going off the board in the first round, so probably the Jaguars, in my view, they had to take a wide receiver because so many wide receivers are going in the first round, and there's plenty of defensive talent left in the first round, and there's also plenty of defensive talent left for the Jaguars to draft. So I think the Jaguars, in my view, made the most logical choice they could make by taking a wide receiver in the first round. Now the Jaguars, who did they draft? Let's look that up here. I was watching it during the first round. Okay, let me check here my list of players who were drafted. And the Jaguars drafted a wide receiver by the name of Brian Thomas Jr. out of LSU. A great place for college football and also filled with a lot of NFL talent. I think Brian Thomas Jr. is going to be a great player for the Jaguars, and he could also work well with Trevor Lawrence as wide receiver. Plus, last year, the Jaguars, in my view, underperformed. They should have had a better season last year. They should have been contenders actually for the AFC title game and probably even beyond into the Super Bowl, but it never happened for the Jaguars. They were a flop last season, and part of that was an offense. So I think Brian Thomas Jr. out of LSU does fill a major gap for the Jaguars as they get ready for the 2024 NFL season. So those are my first round storylines for 2024 NFL draft for the House of the Lombardi teams. For the rest of the draft, they didn't focus on other needs, especially the Cowboys focusing more on the offensive line, which was a must need, but they also never drafted a running back. That there is also something I do not understand because they need a running back, although Ezekiel Elliott might come back to the Dallas Cowboys. For the other NFL teams who are also part of the House of the Lombardi, they did focus on other needs, but also left some other needs neglected as well. Some other areas in need were filled as well by the other teams in the House of the Lombardi. So overall, I think they did well, the House of the Lombardi teams, but there are other areas of need in their roster. But I think for the Bears, they did well. I think they did the best overall. And for the Ravens and the Lions, what more do they need? They got complete rosters, so they probably picked players based on what they wanted rather than what they needed. For the other teams such as the Cowboys, Atlanta, Tampa, and the Jaguars, and the others, they definitely drafted players they needed while also not filling other areas of need. But I think the Jaguars also focused more on defense as well, because that there was also a major area concern for the Jaguars given how last season went. So we'll see what happens next for the Jaguars and the other teams in the House of the Lombardi, how they proceed forward after the draft. Training camp is coming and in preseason, and also the summer of the NFL will be also very intriguing as well before the season does begin for the House of the Lombardi. And I'll be covered here in the Brewsill podcast and the beers that go with those storylines. For now though, that should do for me in this episode of Brewstilled. Please do tell your friends and family about this podcast, and please rate this podcast on your Zard podcast directory. Please do follow this podcast over on Instagram, and also check out his podcast at Blue Sky Social. Please stay tuned for future NFL coverage, guest interviews, craft beer content, and other topics of interest. Please do enjoy good beer, bourbon, whiskey on this spring season. I'm Harold Sprandon. Thank you for joining me, and also next time. And until then, be brewed and be distilled, folks. Cheers.